there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we jump in, we must warn you this episode contains explicit content, such as sexual abuse, that may be disturbing to some people. Listener discretion is advised.
Also, if this is the first time you're listening to Sacred Scandal, everything will make a lot more sense if you start with episode 1. In 2008, journalist Todd Bensman was one of the few guests allowed inside Silver Wolf Ranch. He knew the 340-acre Texas property, now valued at over $4 million, was not your average homestead. What he wasn't expecting to see beyond its gates was a very private vacation wonderland, heavily guarded and secured, with two lakes, an airport, a Wild West-themed playground with a functional saloon and an exotic game zoo.
They had the baby bear on a leash. All of the lions and tigers were in cages. They had Clydesdale horses, gigantic Clydesdale horses. Yeah, they had ostriches.
Exotic deer roamed around the grounds, grazing right in front of the sprawling mansions and the vintage car museum.
They also had a barn that was filled with classic cars. And on the exterior of the barn were painted the cars that were inside. They wouldn't let me go inside, but, you know, clearly there was, you know, significant wealth associated with the family.
The family Todd Bensman alludes to is Samuel Joaquin Garcias. Samuel had purchased the ranch around 1997, and it was not exactly a secret. Its iron gates used to boast his giant, golden initials for all to see. Samuel's son and heir, Nason, hardly uses it anymore, not only because he is locked up in a California jail, but because he always thought it was too plain for his style. He preferred Ebenezer, his 114-acre California Redwoods ranch, or his vacation home in Kissimmee, Florida, right next to Disneyland. What first dropped Todd to Silver Wolf was plain old human curiosity.
Well, I first heard about them when I worked for the San Antonio Express News as an investigative reporter on their investigative projects team. And I would drive back and forth between Houston and Austin on I-10, and there was always this very strange-looking, eye-catching dome that would pop out of the forest in the distance off the highway. So one day I just pulled off the highway and went to go look at it.
And Todd, well, he had questions.
I knocked on the gate.
The gatekeepers informed Todd that Silver Wolf was a privately owned zoo and that it wasn't currently open to the public.
I asked who owns this place, and the person told me it belonged to this church, La Luz del Mundo. People started talking about, you know, their suspicions and the strange comings and goings and limousines and airplanes and... So that kind of caught my attention even more, and I just kind of kept reporting.
Soon enough, Todd discovered that he was not the only one wondering about what was going on at Silver Wolf.
I found law enforcement that had done some preliminary kinds of investigations, and there were aerial surveillance photos that I was able to look at.
What attracted both the journalist and the police's attention to Silver Wolf were the armed guards at its gates, the private planes, the domed mansions that sprung up practically overnight, and the tinted SUV caravans that arrived from time to time, carrying the Apostles' royal family. The lifestyle confused the authorities, who feared the new owners could be drug traffickers. The ranch is registered as a non-profit wildlife refuge and sanctuary, which entitles it to generous tax exemptions. People occasionally show up at its gates, with picnic baskets and eager kids looking to catch a glimpse of the zoo animals. And they're always turned back, politely, by guards who tell them they're sorry. But Silver Wolf is not open, yet. 15 years after Todd broke the story, the ranch has not received a single visitor from outside the church, and its giraffes are known to die of broken necks while being improperly handled. That never stopped LLDM from fundraising to pay for its upkeep. This is Sacred Scandal Season 2, Episode 8, Show Me the Money. Hector Vera, a former deacon of the church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, remembers having to ask his flock for money over and over again.
Y ponen de ejemplo a la viuda, ¿verdad? Dice que muchos estaban dando ofrendas, y Jesús vio a la viuda y les dijo que ella dio más que los demás. Ella dio todo lo que tenía. Sería poquito, no se compara a las grandes cantidades.
Hector describes one of LLDM's favorite biblical parables, the one about the widow, who surrendered a single coin, yet Jesus saw she gave more than everyone else because she parted with everything she had. He goes on to mention there is a permanent insistence on giving, giving, and giving, where everyone is urged to make special offerings for the Joaquins, or for a construction project, or, of course, for the ranch.
Entonces es una insistencia, dar, dar, dar. Y cada vez que la iglesia va al templo, en la mañana, al mediodía o en la tarde, hay un arca donde pasan a depositar un dólar, $10, el diezmo, las ofrendas. Para esto se nos insiste.
As it is with all the Joaquins' properties, the flock is asked to give more than money. Todd witnessed several local church members showing their devotion with hard labor at the Silver Wolf Ranch.
I met several of them who said, yeah, you know, we all have to go work on it. And they are the labor force for maintaining the property and feeding the animals and whatever the family needed. They were not compensated. It was kind of a church duty, and they seemed fine. They didn't seem to have a problem.
Most of them comply with this unpaid, unsafe labor happily, without even questioning it. Because even if the law might call this type of work indentured servitude, LLDM calls it a blessing. Sharim Guzman, who we met in previous episodes, received plenty of those blessings when he was a child, when his father volunteered for LLDM in the 1980s, constructing their grand temple at Hermosa Provincia.
En realidad, la mano de obra en la luz del mundo en la construcción de sus templos es a raíz de sus miembros. No es pagada. A mi papá le pagaban una cuestión simbólica que eran como 150 pesos semanales.
He says his father was given a symbolic amount per week, about 150 pesos, or 7 to 8 bucks. The church also sent the family a food basket with 2 pounds of beans, 2 pounds of rice, and other basic items. But that didn't keep Sharim's family from living in scarcity. Because he worked basically full-time for the church, his dad couldn't get a real job, earning real money.
Pero mi papá estaba trabajando día y noche, ¿no? Entonces sí vivíamos con una carencia, porque en lugar de estar mi papá produciendo dinero real para su familia, pues lo estaba produciendo para la iglesia.
Sharim says, since his father didn't make enough money doing free labor for LLDM, he himself had to go to work. He started when he was just 8 years old.
Mi papá no proveía el dinero suficiente. Yo empecé desde los 8 años a empacar en un mercadito.
He sold newspapers, cleaned car windows, mowed lawns, and packed groceries. With the money he earned, his family could eat. And Sharim still put money towards the yearly family trip to Guadalajara for the Santa Cena. Sharim's story is not unique. In LLDM, any and all able-bodied members are expected to contribute as much as they can for the well-being of the church and its apostles. The strength of their faith is valued by the measure of their generosity. Besides spending most of their waking time fundraising for LLDM, they give at each of the three daily services collections. They are required to pony up at least 10% of all their yearly income, and on top of that, they save the whole year to give hundreds or even $1,000 each on the apostles' birthday and during the church's high holidays, such as the Santa Cena. And there's more. When the apostle's wife has needs, let's say to decorate the house, a fancy dress for the holidays, or maybe a new watch, they give. Whenever the royal family wants a new car, a vacation, or a bigger garden, they give. And then there's all the LLDM merch, like the devotional books and the apostles' photographs to be prominently displayed in their homes. All that profit goes directly back into LLDM, supposedly for its international missionaries or for the temple upkeep. Elisa Flores, who grew up in a faithful LLDM family in Luling, Texas, peddled whatever she could on the street as a teenager.
Everything was selling flowers, selling candies. Everything was always voluntary. It didn't matter how many hours you were there, but it was all for the glory of God, and it was always a blessing. And if you have kids, you got to take your kids. If their kids are in school, well, you got to make arrangements for somebody else to pick up your kids while you're selling, because you're not supposed to leave your spot. And all of the money goes back to the church.
In LLDM, there are consequences if people don't commit to give all they can every time. Pastors keep a tally of how much each family ponies up, and the laggards are made aware of their shortcomings, more often than not, through public humiliation in front of the whole congregation.
They stand you up, and in front of everybody, you have to give an amount. And then on top of that, they make you feel guilty that you don't have that much love for the apostle of God to give more money. And it's like, no, I have kids and this is all I can afford.
And if shame is not enough, there's always fear.
Anything that you do when you're in this cult is never good enough. That fear tactic that they use, and they always use, is that you're going to hell for anything you do wrong. Or sometimes you don't do enough. Like, let's say you didn't go help in this activity. Well, if God's going to punish you during that time because you didn't come and help sell roses and you got in a car in an accident, well, God's punishing you. And you're lucky that you just had a car accident and you didn't die, because you would have went to hell because you weren't doing your activity.
As Joel Silva points out, public shaming is just the beginning. There are other, more practical punishments for those that are not in good standing, meaning those who can't give as much as LLDM expects.
If you're not in good standing, you cannot get married in church. Your sons or your children cannot be blessed in the church.
LLDM believers are taught the servant of God deserves everything, and that the apostles' glory shines down on them and becomes their own. So when the Joaquins come out, decked to the nines, driving luxury cars and flashing bejeweled watches, most people would never be able to afford, they get only loving, mesmerized looks from the flock. But is this enough to explain how LLDM's converts, most of them blue-collar workers, are so willing and even happy to have their children hustling in the streets, often going hungry, to sustain the private jets, the designer clothes, the over-the-top mansions and playgrounds of the apostles' family? Diane Benscotter, a leading expert on cults and coercive organizations, explains it better.
It comes back to understanding psychological manipulation and how much that person felt at the time that it was God's will that this happened, because there was such a mystique around the leaders that the victims often feel like this is what God wants. Even if it goes against everything is screaming in your body and your mind and your heart that this is wrong.
She points to Jonestown, where in November of 1978, over 900 people committed mass suicide at the behest of a religious leader.
Like Jim Jones convincing people that they should feed poison to their babies and watch them die in Guyana. It's very scary that that can happen on such a large scale.
And in terms of scale, Jonestown has nothing on La Luz del Mundo. LLDM reports 5 million converts in over 50 countries, all generously emptying their wallets for the church on a daily basis. Most of it is off the books, untraceable, non-taxable, and slowly finding its way, in cash, into Hermosa Provincia's vaults as we speak. More on that after the break.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All over the world, at each community belonging to LLDM, some of the collected money is used to sustain the church's pious work. It is poured into companies owned by LLDM, but it ultimately flows into Fraternidad Levítica, AR, an institution founded in 2016 in Mexico for the sole purpose of gathering and collecting the incoming money. From there, the Apostle of God and LLDM's main bishop, Gilberto Garcia, can invest and disburse as they see fit, as long as they can write it off as church work, the upkeep of its temples, the building of schools and clinics, the pastor's salary or missionary travel, which may include, let's say, chartering private planes for the Joaquins to spread the word. And that's all perfectly legal, except for the wads of cash set aside and tightly packed into Manila envelopes, sealed and labeled, for the servant of God. Those are then given to trustworthy members, oftentimes unconditionals, and quietly transported from their parishes all the way to Hermosa Provincia. Hector Vera walks us through how he once arranged the smuggling of thousands of dollars in cash from San Antonio to Guadalajara.
Por ejemplo, cuando yo estaba en San Antonio, ¿verdad? Ofrendaron $70,000 para el cumpleaños de Samuel.
Hector recalls a church in San Antonio that raised $70,000 for Samuel's birthday. Since it's illegal for a single person to travel with more than $10,000 in cash across the U.S.-Mexico border, he dispersed it among several trustworthy believers, who then carried their share into Mexico.
Porque en el avión no dejan viajar a ninguna persona con más de $10,000. Entonces yo lo repartí entre varias personas y allá en Guadalajara me lo entregaban y yo lo entregaba a la Casa Jericó.
Once the money reached its destination, Hector collected it back and delivered the total amount to LLDM's offices at Casa Jericó. This was, of course, all done off the books. And this was just one trip from one temple. LLDM claims to have almost 15,000 temples worldwide. Hector explains how, in each church, there are two different commissions. One for the temple, that takes care of the local building's maintenance and the overall daily expenses of the parish. And one for finance, that collects and manages the tithes, the odd donations, and other fundraising activities done for the apostles and LLDM as a global institution.
En cada iglesia hay dos comisiones, comisión de finanzas y otra de pro templo.
Each commission is composed of three loyal church members in charge of collecting and allotting the minimum amount of money needed to keep their local temple running and growing, and then getting the rest to the Joaquin's lair in Guadalajara. Hector tells us that, for their troubles, they receive what's nicknamed in the church as a gomes, usually about $15 per hour. Quite a small amount to repay them for the criminal task of tax evasion and money laundering. And giving the generous amounts LLDM hustles out of his congregants, it's also really cheap. Joel Silva explains how the royal family relies on its believers not just for the church's work, but for any and all petty personal expenses.
If they have a birthday party for their sons, they invite the church to cooperate to prepare the party, to serve the food, to prepare the food, to clean the place, so they don't put a penny for anything.
Elisa was a first-hand witness of how the congregation's practical needs often took a back seat to the apostles' whims.
Our money was just for the repairs of the church and the cleaning supplies, but everybody brought their own cleaning supplies, so I don't understand why we needed that. One time we sold for Samuel's birthday, which was Valentine's Day, we sold flowers, and we made like $25,000, $25,000-something. It was a lot of money.
Elisa's church was in need of repair. The bathrooms were not working properly, and a hefty plumber's fee was coming. She was happy they had collected so much by selling those roses because now they could afford both Samuel's gift and the repairs. And then, when she found out the apostle himself would be visiting her temple, well, she was ecstatic. But her minister had other ideas.
The minister, Luis Cruz, comes to me, this money right here we're going to give to Samuel as a birthday gift. And I was like, this money is assigned for the repairs of the restrooms. And then he says, I'm going to talk with the church on Sunday, and they have to agree, or everybody has to agree, for us to give this money instead of to repair the restrooms. So he gets up on Sunday, and he does this whole Sunday school about election, the election of the apostle of God, and how without the apostle of God, we don't have life, and everything that we have is because of the apostle of God. He is the breath of our noses, and because of him, we have everything. And he's like, everybody who agrees, raise your hand. I didn't want to do it, but I didn't want other people to think that I didn't have the faith and the love in the apostle of God, so I raised my hand too. I raised my hand too, and it's like, oh.
So, instead of being used for the well-being of the congregation, imagine three long, daily services with no working bathrooms. The collected money went straight into the apostle's personal pocket. And that's when things were going smoothly for the church. When the apostle really needed money, like for a lawsuit or to make bail, for instance, the squeeze on the congregation would get turned up, way up. That's after the break.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events.
With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When Asson was arrested, LLDM's already aggressive fundraising became frantic. The Apostle's bail was first set at $25 million, but the judge soon upped it to a record-breaking $90 million at the request of one of the prosecutors, who noted that Asson had been known to spend over $100,000 in a single visit to a clothing store in Beverly Hills. Judith Hernandez was living in Chicago at the time and remembers the church campaigning aggressively to get him out of jail, collecting money for the cause and sending letters in his defense to the press and to the DA. Like most LLDM members, Judith was convinced of Nason's innocence. She was completely devoted to the cause of freeing the apostle. That's when she got a call from Nason's sister.
Fue cuando Betsy Joaquín me habla por teléfono. Y prácticamente me pidió que lavara dinero para la fianza de Nason.
Betsabe Joaquín, better known as Betsy, was calling Judith up for a favor. The church needed money for Nason's bail. But LLDM couldn't use their own money because so much of it was off the books. So if Judith could donate money on the books, legally, they would have a traceable way to pay for the bail. Judith was listening, until she heard how much Betsy was asking for.
En ese momento estaban pidiendo 5 millones.
$5 million. Now Betsy and Judith were close. Judith had been Betsy's aide and confidant for years, and Judith was a successful businesswoman. She could have come up with $5 million to give. But still, it seemed like a lot.
Entonces, no sé por qué a mí me dio una corazonada como, ¿para qué necesitan la fianza si él va a salir?
The phone call made Judith suspicious. Why did they need to pay bail if he was completely innocent? Wasn't he going to be released? She was 1,000% sure of it. He wouldn't need the $5 million. He was going to be freed. God would manifest himself, right?
Yo estaba 1,000% segura de que él iba a salir.
So she declined Betsy's request and told her she should look elsewhere.
Y tengo entendido de que algunas personas aquí de Chicago sí prestaron dinero.
Judith says some members in Chicago did come up with the money, but in the end, it wasn't enough. LLDM could not meet the staggering bail amount, And despite Judith's high hopes, Nason was not freed. But nobody knows what happened to the millions of dollars raised on his behalf. And we know the church doesn't just traffic money. It also trades in more subtle forms of currency. We've mentioned before how LLDM peddles its members' votes as a way to curry political favors. Like the time in 2021, when Bishop Gilberto Garcia, whom you might remember as Ilem Garcia's father, and LLDM's main money man and filling apostle after Nason's arrest, was recorded asking believers to vote for a particular candidate for Guadalajara's mayor.
Muy buenas noches. Hoy diputados del Partido Acción Nacional, del PAN, presentaron una denuncia. Una denuncia ante la Fiscalía de Delitos Electorales.
That candidate belonged to Morena, Mexico's current president's political party. This might sound like just another Sunday in a U.S. church, but asking followers to vote for a specific candidate or support a particular political party is very much against Mexican electoral law. And as this Millennium News story reports, it resulted in one of the main opposition parties filing a complaint with the Office of Electoral Crimes.
Carlos Lomelí. Recordemos parte de lo que dijo el ministro de culto de la Iglesia de la Luz del Mundo en aquella reunión del 13 de mayo.
This sermon was secretly recorded and is hard to hear. But if you listen carefully, you can clearly hear Garcia telling his flock that the alluded politician promised to fix the church's current problems, as long as they helped him get elected. Bishop Garcia stressed that this politician was close to the federal government and could introduce LLDM to anyone, even the president of Mexico. After Nason's arrest, the Mexican government had frozen the church's assets, the ones collected by Fraternidad Levítica, a problem Garcia believed this candidate could solve. The meeting between Garcia and the candidate was facilitated by an organization known as Association of Mexican Professionals and Entrepreneurs, or APEM for short. Officially, it's just an organization for business owners to advocate for themselves. But its true purpose is to grease the wheels for LLDM to meddle in politics, legally. It was formed shortly after Samuel's death in 2014, in the hopes of achieving Nason's longtime dream, to get his very own political party. Sharim Guzman worked as a political liaison for the church in Ensenada and was a valuable member of APEM.
Ahorita han sido estratégicos en ese tema. Ellos tienen una asociación civil que se llama APEM.
Sharim describes how the church was being very strategic. APEM is led by Rogelio Zamora Barradas, an LLDM bishop, ex-congressman, and ex-senator.
Obispo de la Luz del Mundo, ex-diputado local y federal. ¿Cómo te explicas que uno, un diácono de la iglesia, de repente es diputado federal?
How do you explain a deacon from LLDM suddenly becoming a congressman? Sharim asks. And then back to being a minister and now a bishop and also the leader of LLDM's most important territorial platform. He then answers his own question, because APEM's structure influences all level of politics, from local to national.
Entonces, La Luz del Mundo, a través de la APEM, ahorita, utiliza los recursos que ya tiene, que es la iglesia.
Those politicians, in turn, help advance the church's needs and agenda however they can. But all of that was not nearly enough for Nason Joaquin, the new apostle, the third in an illustrious line of servants of God. If Samuel had left his mark on the church by building a great, magnificent temple, Nason wanted to erect something less tangible, but way more powerful.
Y te digo, a mí Nason un día me encargó que fuera viendo cómo formar un partido político.
The day came when Nason finally tasked Sharim with forming LLDM's own political party. He explained to Sharim that because LLDM was chosen by God, they were uncorrupted, and the country would be much better off led by the children of God.
Y la APEM, pues es toda esa estructura territorial que te venden. Entonces, cuando ellos hacen un evento público o en campañas, lo hacen a través de la APEM, pero en realidad es la luz del mundo.
Sharim mentions LLDM has people. A lot of people. Often since high school, young kids belonging to the church get signed up with APEM. The church gathers all these people from different states, municipalities, and neighborhoods they have a presence in. So when they do a public event or a campaign event, they do it through APEM. But in reality, it's all La Luz del Mundo. Through APEM, LADM fully lobbies and meddles into politics with plausible deniability. APEM's only objective is to push LADM's agenda and the apostles' public profile in the political arena. For example, APEM was responsible for securing Bellas Artes for Nason's birthday, and its headquarters are located right by the great temple in Hermosa Provincia. Yet they adamantly deny having anything to do with LLDM. The candidate Bishop Garcia mentioned in his secretly recorded sermon lost the election. But it didn't matter. Way before the results were announced, almost 20 million of LLDM's dollars were freed when a local judge accepted LLDM's injunction, asking for their goods back. The whole asset freeze lasted only a couple of weeks, and the prosecutor responsible for the inquiry was fired by the Mexican president 8 months later. This past May 2023, LLDM finally formed its very own National Political Association, or APN, called Humanismo Mexicano. In Mexico, APNs are threshold institutions before the formation of a political party. We spoke with Emmanuel Reyes, a sitting congressman and high-profile LLDM member. Reyes helped found Humanismo Mexicano and currently belongs to the president's ruling political party, Morena.
Quien atiende, quien revisa y quien pone en la agenda pública la palabra Humanismo Mexicano, pues es el propio presidente Andrés Manuel López Obrador.
Reyes enthusiastically affirms that the person who supervises, defines, and sets the agenda for Humanismo Mexicano is none other than the Mexican president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. He goes on to say that what they want for Humanismo Mexicano is to do the organizational groundwork on behalf of Morena.
Lo que nosotros estamos planteando es que Humanismo Mexicano sea un instrumento para poder apuntalar el trabajo organizativo de la Cuarta Transformación y de Morena.
After clearly stating the new APN would very much serve the current president's political agenda, and only the president, Reyes adamantly denies Humanismo Mexicano has anything to do with, you guessed it, LLDM.
Pues varios medios de comunicación han señalado que quienes estamos al frente de la agrupación política nacional somos integrantes de la Iglesia a la Luz del Mundo.
Reyes claims that some media groups have stated that the people leading Humanismo Mexicano belong to LLDM, that APN is just an arm of the church, and that they have sought to harm them through deceit, by using religion to discriminate against them. One more time, he stresses it loud and clear. This APN has nothing to do with LLDM.
Y pues lo hemos dicho de una manera clara, frontal, que la agrupación política nacional nada tiene que ver con la asociación religiosa La Luz del Mundo.
They may deny it all they want. This unholy alliance between LLDM and the powers that be has always been very palpable in Mexico. But the church's political tentacles have since extended worldwide. In 2019, days before his final trip to Los Angeles, Nason Joaquin visited a new church project in El Salvador, Ciudad de la Luz.
En mayo de este año, el líder de la Iglesia Luz del Mundo, Joaquín García, colocó la primera piedra donde se construye el proyecto urbanístico.
A news report from a local El Salvadorian news station describes a 256-acre plot of land located right along the side of the highway near the capital's international airport, slated for LLDM development.
Deben de tener templos que son áreas de adoración a nuestro Dios.
In this speech, Nason describes everything that will be built on the site. The shopping markets and sporting arena, the sanctuary and temple capable of holding over 100,000 members, the more than 1,000 housing units, several hotels, a university, a hospital, markets, offices and parks. The total investment would top over $200 million. Touring the site with his boots and a hard hat merely a week before his arrest, Nason was in very good company. By his side was President Nayib Bukele, who had bestowed the apostle with the title of Distinguished Visitor of San Salvador, way back when Asson first visited in 2005, when Bukele was merely the mayor of San Salvador.
En esta zona del aeropuerto internacional hay más proyectos de grandes inversiones en la que están interesados varios empresarios.
But it is not only south of the Mexican border where the apostle has grandiose expansion plans. Here in the U.S., among the verdant forests of Georgia, along the shores of Lake Lanier, 270 acres await for the City of Light to spring right next to the town of Flower Branch. This LLD metropolis would rival its sister cities to the south, if it ever sees the light. The local community has rallied against it since before Nason's arrest. But that's not all. LLDM's political influence continues north along the I-95 corridor. In 2019, the Texas Senate honored the apostle by name. Anaheim, California gave him the keys to the city. And there's official Nason Joaquin Garcia Days in both Delavan, Wisconsin, and Washington, D.C.
Alcaldía de Washington, D.C., es un placer estar con ustedes en esta noche, celebrando este día y reconociendo la gran labor de su líder espiritual que tienen en la Iglesia Luz del Mundo.
Here's a video from 2015 of Jackie Reyes Yáñez, then acting as Washington, D.C.'s director of the Mayor's Office on Latino Affairs, officially recognizing the great labor of LLDM's spiritual guide and declaring the first Nason Joaquin Garcia Day right on the seat of all the U.S. political powers.
Los que viven aquí en el distrito de Columbia, yo sé que tenemos mucho y tenemos una iglesia donde desde muy pequeña que yo me crecí aquí en el distrito de Columbia.
The amount of economic and political muscle LLDM has amassed throughout its history by shrewdly colluding with early powers is staggering, and it buys the royal family much more than fancy clothes, jewelry, and luxurious houses. It also buys them silence and impunity. Nobody knows it better than those who have dared to confront LLDM and face the full weight of its power.
To be part of this chosen group, you give up your autonomy. That's the trade-off. When you leave, it's hard to reclaim that. You realize that, okay, I can't be part of this anymore, but I don't know who I am.
That's next on Sacred Scandal. Sacred Scandal, La Luz del Mundo, is a production of Exile Content Studio in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network and is hosted by me, Roberta Garza. Produced by Sabine Jansen with the help of Estela Emmett, Reynolds Gutierrez, and Ana Isabel Octavio. Written by myself with help from Maribel Quesada Smith. Research by Roberta Garza. Additional reporting by Florencia González Guerra García. Engineering by Hugo Mendoza and Sabine Jansen. Sound design by Gonzalo Messi. Original music by Patrick Hart. Edited by Ryder Alsop, Maribel Quesada Smith, and Rose Reed. Executive producers are Rose Reed, Carmen Graterol, Isaac Lee, and Nando Villa. Daniel Bautista oversees audio at Exile Content Studio. Our executive producers at iHeart are Giselle Vances and Arlene Santana. Sacred Scandal was created by Melanie Bartley and Paula Barros. Special thanks to Monk Music Studios. Archival clips from this episode are from Milenio and Canal 12, Noticiero Hechos, in El Salvador. For more podcasts, go to the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express.
Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.